Hello, and welcome to Ask the Mayor here on WBAA News. I'm your host, Emily Seiberg. This week, our guest on the show is Lafayette Mayor Tony Rozworski. Thanks so much for being with us. As you're listening, remember, if you have questions, you can keep emailing those in for Mayor Rozworski. Send those to ask, that's A-S-K, at WBAA.org. Good afternoon, Mayor Rozworski.
Hi, Emily. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Fine. Thank you.
So we're trying a new thing today. Again, you're calling in on our new Comrec system. We're still practicing that social distancing. So thanks for being a part of that. So my first question is, the governor's reopening plan for Indiana continued to roll out in stages this week, and places like restaurants and hair salons and tattoo parlors were allowed to reopen under certain restrictions. And some have chosen to do that and others haven't. And you were saying at yesterday's weekly press conference, you'd been kind of driving around town and it looked like a lot of restaurants had not elected to go ahead and open up. Do you think that decision is a health concern? You know, owners don't feel like it's safe to reopen yet, or is it more of an economic decision for them?
Well, I think it's probably a little bit of both. One, I know that, you know, those business owners, as anxious as they might be to reopen, understand that there are still health concerns, and they have concerns for their employees and for folks that come in there. And so they want to make sure that they're doing it right. And as you have heard from many of us and the medical folks on those weekly press conferences that we do, that reopening is much harder than closing. Mm-hmm. And so I think people are, you know, taking their time to make sure that they have everything in place, have enough masks, any other PPE that they might need, and make sure that they're kind of that they're doing it right and they're confident in it. And also, I think from an economic side, if they feel like folks aren't quite ready to take that step out into the community, is it, you know, does it make economic sense to open? Obviously, they start to incur expenses, and so you have to balance that out while they're, you know, making some very difficult decisions right now. So my guess is it's a little bit of both. It's economics, it's being careful, it's making sure they have everything in place. And I think that's a good thing. I mean, I was certainly, I know the ones that want to open that worked real hard, but it was good to see that people are taking their time, that this really is a slow ramp up. I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. I think it's probably a good thing that not everybody opened on that exact Monday. Mm-hmm. That they could, that we've had a little bit slower ramp up and people are doing it right and people are being cautious. I think that bodes well for us, you know, getting through these next several weeks.
What have you been hearing or have you been hearing from local businesses of various types about their ability to get PPE? Do you think people feel well supplied or that that's accessible to them?
Well, you know, that I know there's been a few that have said they have not been able to get some of the things that they've needed yet. That's been more along the line dentist offices and things like that, that probably require a higher level. You know, the exchange that the state of Indiana is running for small businesses went up last week for those folks to be able to get PPE and masks. Those things are still can be challenging for the private sector to get. And not so much get, but the shipping time, the lead time to get some of them can be a little bit of a challenge. So I can't tell you that I've talked to a ton of people about that specifically, but that very well could be part of it, that they need, they can get them, but it's going to take, you know, 5 days, 7 days or something like that to get here. And so they're waiting on some of that. So that, you know, all of those things play a factor into them opening and making that decision to open. And some of those things are still, you know, pretty hard to find, or certainly becomes available in spurts and then may be out for a while. And it's something even here at the city, we spend a great deal of time on for all of our staff, and to make sure that when we reopen, we're in a good position to do that. And we have what we need. That's not easy for anybody.
So in terms of the city, that's interesting. Do you feel the need to kind of, or are you stockpiling some supplies so that you can kind of have that on call as necessary?
Well, I would say we are trying to do that. I wouldn't say that we're in some departments, that's a little bit easier than others because there are places that we can purchase items that are for first responders, frontline people. So if they're for police and fire, we can get them and get them a little quicker. If they're for general use here, then that doesn't qualify in some of the places in the way that you order. So we're working on that. I can't tell you that we have a huge stockpile of anything yet because it's just not that easy even for us to get some of those things that aren't going to police and fire. And so, but yes, we are working on that and we'll continue to work through that. And we're using different vendors through our purchasing department who has done a yeoman's job working through vendors and quite frankly, doing what a lot of other people do, putting on a mask and literally going from store to store as they get trucks in and see if we can get there in time to get some things that we need also. That arena is still challenging in many areas.
We do have a listener question. And for context, this was sent in at the very end of April. I think it was one day before the release of the Back on Track plan. So again, that's context. So this is from Kathleen, who asks, what would you think about closing Main Street for the summer and allowing restaurants to use the space for outdoor seating?
Well, a lot of our restaurants have outdoor seating. If you go up and down Main Street, that's been part of Streetscape. Quite frankly, I don't know that they would be in favor of that. When I was, and I don't know if this person is a restaurateur, but when we were doing Streetscape and we were doing Main Street, we broached the idea with people of kind of permanently making Main Street just a green space between certain blocks that there would be no vehicular traffic on that permanently. That was just, it would be like a greenway. Some communities have done that, particularly some spots down in I think it's Greenville down in South Carolina and some other places that we looked at. And that was met with a pretty resounding no.
Okay.
They were not interested in losing all vehicular traffic in front of their businesses and parking, and everybody was, you know, open to the idea of taking away some parking for outdoor dining because you do typically lose some parking with outdoor dinings and bump outs for pedestrian crossings to make them safer, even though we have actually been through restriping. We've been able to add parking places back in and on some of the side streets. And then on some of the other streets where we revamp things, we actually have more parking spaces downtown now than we did before we started the first phase of Streetscape. So we've actually been able to overcome that. But still, that was not met with much enthusiasm at all. So my guess is most of the business owners would still feel the same way.
I'm wondering, and all I have is that question. My thought might be that Kathleen was asking about almost as a virus mitigation measure to get people outside and out of enclosed spaces. Now, the governor's order has kind of set in motion a plan to get people back inside those spaces. I'm thinking that's what she might have meant. And I guess I would ask also, how is the city planning for the summer and possible summer events, generally speaking? Because right now, according to the reopening plan, July 4th is kind of the kickoff date for the state to essentially be fully reopened and for fairs and festivals and things of that nature to be allowed. You know, when I last spoke with Crawfordsville Mayor Todd Barton, he said, you know, they were canceling some July 4th events, for example, but still thinking about how to do fireworks. You know, can you make a plan right now, given a lot of unknowns, but is the city thinking about what the summer looks like if things continue on as they are and if there isn't, you know, a set of additional shutdowns?
Yes. I mean, from a standpoint of the festivals and things like that, that are actually privately ran, but ran downtown, you know, all of those have pushed back and push back beyond that July 4th deadline. And of course, we've been in contact with those, and not all of them have actually been rescheduled yet, to the best of my knowledge, but some of them have been rescheduled back into August. And I think, you know, we're looking at Riverfest, that may be pushed back clear into September. And so, you know, different things like that are being pushed back, and those discussions are taking place. I've talked with Steve Beltink about the Moseys, you know, and how they'll have to be pushed back, and maybe when they even do start, is there special requirements that we might have? We have not made any decisions on that. We've decided to wait a little bit and look at the data, right? We've been a data-driven, scientific-driven community the whole time, looking at number of new cases, number of hospitalizations, hospital capacity, ventilator capacity, spikes, deaths, number of testing, how many people can get tested, percentage of positives to the number of people tested. So we will continue to look at those factors as we make those, you know, types of decisions. I don't want to make a comment yet on the 4th of July. Cindy Murray, who's in charge of our Stars and Stripes, her and I have been in very close discussions about that, and there will be something released on that here in the very near future. But I can tell you that we're going to be, you know, we're going to be cautious. We're going to be smart about what we do. I'll just give you an example. I had my facilities department called the other day and said, hey, somebody wants to rent the depot for an event. And it was like in the second week of July. It was after July 4th. And okay. I said, you know, I'm not going to do that because you never know. And we may have to extend this a little bit. So, you know, don't rent it until the end of July, and, you know, make sure that we've given ourselves even some additional gap. And then we have to tell people, even then, this is contingent on there's not some type of resurgence, there's not some type of, you know, new information that comes out. So everybody knows that everything is on a contingency basis. We, you know, we've made that clear on everything that's taking place.
You are listening to Ask the Mayor here on WBAA News. I'm your host, Emily Seiberg. Right now, we're talking with Lafayette Mayor Tony Rozworski. Mayor, we've been focusing on restaurants and other businesses that have been allowed to start reopening this week, but stage three of the governor's plan does start on May 24th, so a little over 2 weeks from now, and that opens up another range of businesses and spaces. Gyms and fitness centers can reopen. Playgrounds, tennis courts, basketball courts, community pools. So can we talk a little more about the conversations and planning surrounding those reopenings? Because all of those can reopen, but again, with social distancing guidelines in place. And when we open those types of spaces up, we are talking about spaces with a lot more physical activity and interaction. You know, how do you socially distance in a basketball game? You know, mm-hmm. What are the conversations happening around all of that right now?
Yeah, so, you know, we are, you know, a lot of that falls in with our parks department. And so we have had those discussions. You know, we plan to slowly, you know, reopen our playgrounds if it becomes necessary to rope off certain pieces because it's not working out well. We'll continue to monitor that. And if we have to close something again, we will slowly begin to do that. We'll do the same thing with the basketball courts and try to monitor that and open them in a way that, you know, is more conducive to people just shooting around, not big pickup games mm-hmm. of basketball, because you're correct. So we'll do those things, but we'll continue to monitor them. So if there is an issue, you know, and we have to shut down, I would hope we wouldn't have to shut down all of it, but if we have to shut down certain pieces or not open certain pieces to try to make sure some distancing occurs, those are things that we've, you know, all talked about. Obviously, we can't open Tropicana Cove because that is a considered a water park, so that can't open till June the 14th and then only at 50%. We are looking at Castaway Bay and Vinton Pool, but they can't open up at full capacity. And we think, you know, that activity, the way we space chairs and different things, you know, we can probably meet those guidelines. But again, we will watch it and see how parents act and how the kids act. And, you know, there's only so much that we can control. And if we think it's not conducive, then if we need to close or to make adjustments on that, we'll continue to do so. I mean, there's not a perfect answer here. And I don't think you can not do anything either. I think we have to try some things and see how well we can do them, and then make adjustments if we need to. We need to have the courage then to, if it doesn't work well, to say that didn't work well and we're closing it, or we're re-roping this part off so people can't use it, and slowly ease into this in a smart way and see, you know, how people respond. I'm hoping that people will take it seriously and know that this isn't a given, that this will stay open if people don't respond appropriately and act appropriately while they're there. And, you know, we'll just have to make those decisions as we go.
There's also been a lot of discussion this week and certainly yesterday about lessons learned from long lines without enough social distancing at Harry's Chocolate Shop on Monday in West Lafayette. So what are you taking away from that situation to apply maybe to Lafayette restaurants and how they should handle similar situations? And how is the city preparing to respond if and when something like that might happen again? What's the takeaway for you?
Well, I think most of the restaurants probably saw that situation and that hit home with them on how things can get out of hand, for lack of a better term, pretty quickly. Obviously, Harry's is a very special place to a lot of people and to a lot of young people. So that has some unique challenges in and out. But I think that they will respond to that, and we'll be, you know, making sure that we're talking to people and they're asking for guidance, that they're putting marks outside on the sidewalk necessary with chalk or pieces of tape or different things like that. And you know, we'll help them with that. We're going to continue to remind people, as you heard me do this week, about, hey, if you are in one of those lines, put on a mask. Goodness sakes, even if you're 6 feet apart, put on a mask while you're waiting in line. You know, that is such a easy thing to do, but it can be so beneficial in helping us, you know, keep this under control, and that you're doing it not only for yourself, but for your family and other people's family and for the businesses, right? Because if this goes bad and things have to close back down, or we have to tighten restrictions, then that's just a double whammy for these businesses. And how hard is that going to be? So by wearing the mask, we're also helping the economy. And I want people to think that way, that by wearing that mask, you're helping businesses stay open and get a chance to reopen. And people that are living paycheck to paycheck, and even with some of the money they've got from the government, it's not going to be enough to cover things, and they need to work, to live, to buy groceries, to pay for their medicine, that you're giving them a chance to get their life back on track by putting on that mask and social distancing and at both, right? I mean, there's nothing that says, yeah, I'm 6 feet, but I still can't have a mask on if I'm in a potentially crowded area or somebody might walk by that's not wearing a mask. So there are a lot of reasons for all of us to do this well.
So you have mentioned masks, you know, several times, I know, in these weekly briefings. And, you know, yesterday you mentioned you were seeing at the grocery store, I think you said maybe 65 to 70% of people were wearing masks, and you want that to go up to 90 or 100%. And I feel like, you know, some of this is anecdotal. You know, we observe how many people we think are wearing masks.
Right,
we can't
exactly
say for sure. I know that when I go to the store, I'm absolutely looking around and making a similar assessment. You know, Mayor Dennis and I talked last week about personal responsibility and how often that comes to the forefront as one of the big answers to solving all of this, and that wearing masks might be one of those things. So if people still aren't wearing them, and there are people who don't want to wear them, and you think that's a key component of success here in this community and more broadly, how do you realistically make that happen?
Well, I mean, I think we just have to keep teaching it. I mean, it's like anything. We'll probably never get 100%. Even if we made it mandatory, there's people that are going to go out, try to do things. I mean, you saw the incident that occurred in a Target store in some other city, probably. But I mean, I think overall, you know, we're on the same page as far as we've got to preach it. We have to try to make it personal responsibility, because at the end of the day, that is what gets, you know, a government forced situation. People will only comply for so long. I mean, and we do live in a democracy, and we do live, you know, where we have our freedoms. Those shouldn't overwhelm public health and public safety for others. But at some point, government programs only work to certain levels. And at some point, it is personal responsibility and the will of the people, and the people doing the right things that make things sustainable, and things that last, and things that become part of our culture, and things that people accept. And so, I mean, it is a fine balancing act. And right now, we're doing decent. We want to try to continue to improve. You know, before the Indiana Packers situation hit, our numbers were still very, very low for a county of this size. And so, you know, we're doing good. But, you know, even with that, I'm glad those folks got tested. That's the right thing to do. We find out who's sick. We get them quarantined. You do contact tracing. That's another big piece of doing this well and making sure that we're getting people the help they need, and we're helping keep others safe. So all of it matters, and we all have to work together to understand that. And that's the best way that we're going to get through this and, you know, move forward. And then we still have to all be thinking along the lines of, what if there is a resurgence in the fall? Are we prepared for that? What if we don't get a vaccine developed as quickly as they hope? And I certainly hope too, but we can't count on that 100%. So, you know, this is something that we can never, it's never going to totally leave our minds until we do have a vaccine. And even then, we all know that we got to continue to be prepared. This will not be the first virus or the last virus that we have to deal with in some manner. It's just not going to be. And so we're going to have to continue to be prepared for these types of things going forward. This is a huge learning curve, but it's an important, you know, learning experience for us that we all do need to learn from.
We have a listener question, and it actually echoes something I wanted to ask you as well. So the listener writes in, has President Daniels consulted with you about holding in-person classes in the fall and how the presence of thousands of students will affect Lafayette residents? And I would add to that, there has been a lot of discussion and planning centered around how Purdue and West Lafayette intersect in this situation, and how those populations will impact each other in the coming months. So where does Lafayette fit into that conversation? Have you had those conversations with Purdue?
Well, I haven't had them directly with Purdue, but Mayor Dennis has kept me advised every step along the way with his discussions at Purdue and what they're trying to do. And then I do get some correspondence that comes out about what the committees and stuff are doing. Most of it's what goes out into the public, but Mayor Dennis has done an excellent job discussing with me those discussions that they're having. And so I'm confident that we have the information that we need to help continuing to make decisions over here. And you know, the university, I have openly applauded them. They made the right decision early on to close and do what they did. Our numbers here in Tippecanoe County would be much, much different, I think, if Purdue would have remained open. I think we'd have been in a much worse situation than we're in right now. And so I feel confident about, you know, that they are making decisions based on what they think is good for the entire area. I know several of the trustees over at Purdue and speak with them. And so I'm confident that we are making decisions that Purdue is making decisions that will work for the entire community. And like I said, Mayor Dennis has done a fantastic job keeping me advised of the discussions.
Yesterday, you said you were planning on opening City Hall back up on May 26th, which is a Tuesday, under some modified circumstances. And you said some of the things we've learned through this period will never change. There will be certain things that will be done electronically only going forward. So I guess, first of all, what are some of the specific things when you say this will never go back to the way that it used to be?
A lot of those things are primarily in utility billing. That's one of our biggest areas, you know, where we have to interact with people face to face, right? And so, we've had a lot of electronic billing options, and we even have some additional ones now that, people can use. People were a little reluctant to do that maybe before this, but now, because that we're closed, those numbers of electronic payments, and of course people can mail in them, the need for somebody to come in and hand us cash, or to hand us a payment that's just a straight out payment, that there's no problem, they're not moving, there's not some issue with their bill. Those days, we don't need to ever go back to those days, and we can reduce that much, contact in case this would happen again. Plus, it's incredibly inefficient. So, that would be the biggest one that I could tell you. You know, we will still open that office because people do have a problem with their bill, they're moving, or they're renting, and so there's different things that we have to do. And so there does have to be some of that. But even some of that, we've learned to do that better and found ways to improve the way to do that electronically to decrease the amount of time that way it would be necessary. And so, I know we're going to run out of time. That's probably one of the biggest examples of what we would probably change permanently. And then from the modifications, just temporarily, we're still going to keep some of the doors closed. Utility billing won't open up on the 26th. We will keep it closed. So those are just a few things here, because I know we're getting close on time.
So you've got about, let's say, 30 seconds, Mayor. You said you weren't concerned about job losses due to those types of changes. But in terms of the city's finances in the coming year and then into next year, are you anticipating some possible budget issues? And, what's the thought process there?
Yeah, the technology people will be able to transfer when it happens, usually through retirements and attrition. Something like that would not even be a blip for us. Nobody will lose their job over that. We're not anticipating having to lay anybody off. We might keep some positions open to help with it, because we will lose EDIT, COIT, Public Safety Lit. There are revenues that will definitely be down for us. Some of our calculations are in the millions. So we'll need to be careful, but we'll continue to watch that closely.
Mayor, thanks so much for your time. You can find this program on our website, wbaa.org, along with an archive of our shows with the Mayor of Lafayette, West Lafayette, Crawfordsville, and Frankfort. Send us your questions for all four mayors at ask, that's A-S-K, at wbaa.org. Thanks so much for listening, and have a great rest of the day.
Support for WBAA comes from your membership and Encompass Credit Union, supporting Ask the Mayor and offering a full line of financial services to the people of Clinton and Tipton counties while supporting the communities they serve. More information at EncompassCU.org.